Good afternoon, everyone. All right, it's our third Sunday of Advent, and I'm very excited this year because Christmas falls on a Sunday, and that's the best day to have Christmas, I think. Easter Sunday and then a Christmas Sunday, so one more week until the big day. Today, we're going to look in our Bibles at the book of John. So please open your Bibles to John chapter 1. It's there in your bulletin. It'll be on the screen, but I would encourage you, as always, to have your own Bible open to the book there. It's going to be verses 1 through 13. 1 through 13. And let's go ahead and read all of it together. Okay? Here we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And he was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The very words of God. Amen. So, this is not the first time I'll have preached on John chapter 1, and it's very likely that it's not the last, Lord willing. It's such an important chapter of the Bible. Typically, during Christmas season, the first chapter of John is not what is preached at churches because there is no story here, especially about the birth of Jesus. Usually, what's preached is Matthew chapter 1 and 2, or Luke chapter 1 and 2, or maybe sometimes Isaiah, and a few other places. But Pastor Hiroshi last week chose this chapter to preach about Christmas, and I understand why. It's such a good chapter to study for Christmas. Because it's different. It's so different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In fact, Mark, the book of Mark, doesn't start with the birth of Jesus. It starts with the baptism of Jesus. And it starts talking right away about Jesus' ministry. And the people who, the church fathers who decided the four gospels that would be in the Bible, of course they would choose Mark, because that was the witness or the testimony of the Apostle Peter, very likely. And so if you're going to have something about Jesus, you ought to have the words of his top disciple, Peter. And that's the book of Mark. And then you go to Matthew. Matthew, which I preached 2 weeks ago, talks about Jesus' birth. But it starts off with his genealogy. Do you remember that? His genealogy that goes all the way back to Abraham. And then it goes from Abraham all the way down through David and then up to Jesus. Why? Because Matthew was trying to show us that Jesus was qualified to be our Messiah, our Christ, our Savior, promised to Abraham, went all the way through David, and then down to Christ himself. But then Jesus's baptism. Matthew starts with Jesus' birth and goes back to Abraham. Luke goes even further back and talks about Jesus' genealogy from Adam and says Jesus was God in the flesh, God from a man. And we had the first Adam, and then Jesus became the second Adam. The first Adam was one who gave us our sin. And then the second Adam, Jesus, was the one who took away our sin by taking it on himself. So you got Mark starting with the baptism of Jesus, Matthew going back to Abraham, Luke going back to Adam, and here we have John going back even before that, going back before Abraham, before Adam, all the way to the very beginning. Who is Jesus? He is the Word of God. He is the living God. He is God, and he was with God in the beginning. This is not something you hear in the month of December. In the month of December, you hear the stories of the angels, the shepherds, the inn, the stable, the manger, the wise men. That's what you hear. And it's very appropriate. Those are great, great things to hear. But if it's limited to that, something's missing for Christmas. I had a conversation with my wife. We had some friends over for dinner last Sunday. And we were talking about our Christmas time as children. And didn't tell my wife I was going to talk about her, so excuse me. It's okay, honey. It's safe. So her house growing up was not Christian. She grew up in a very typically Japanese home, but her parents thought, well, with the kids, you know, Christmas is a fun season for children. So when she and her sister were still small, they would have Christmas. They would quote unquote do Christmas, not celebrate Christmas. Christmas or yaru, suru. Because during Christmas, children can enjoy what? The presents, the gifts, right? And so while they were growing up, with little small children, they would get presents on Christmas morning or Christmas day. And then they would eat their Christmas cake, maybe have some Christmas chicken, right? And then as they got older and they understand who Santa or who Santa wasn't, you know, that began to kind of fade. And so in Japan, Christmas is typically for children. And it's something that children can celebrate because they get presents. And, you know, that's a great thing for parents and kids to have. And then once children sort of outgrow Christmas, then, you know, we go on into adulthood and forget about it. But here's the thing. Christmas is not something you outgrow. Christmas is something that you grow into. You don't outgrow Christmas. You don't grow up and understand that Christmas is just that thing that you believed when you were a child. Christmas is something you realize is more true than you ever thought when you were a child. You grow into Christmas. Let me tell you what I mean. My sons are here, so I need to be very careful. they're asking me, I'm a mediator for my kids between them and Santa Claus. When they ask for presents, they have to ask me to talk to Santa Claus for the present, right? Because, you know, I have a relationship with Santa. And it's true. It's true. Now, the question then becomes, at what point do they have to talk to Santa directly on their own? At what point do I have to have the Santa talk with them? You know what I mean, right? The Santa Claus talk. At what point do I have to tell them about the true story of Santa Claus? Is Santa really real? And I can't wait to have this talk with them. I cannot wait to tell them about the true and real Saint Nicholas. Because what is contrary to what is taught outside of the church, Santa Claus is more real than any commercial, any story, any movie, any fairy tale. Santa is more real than what children believe. Santa is not just for kids. Santa Claus is for adults. Pastor Chris, are you crazy? Well, have you looked into it? Santa Claus was a real person, right? He's very well known in Europe. Nicholas, the Bishop of Myra, modern day Turkey, little boy, was born into a very wealthy and rich family. His parents passed away when he was still small. So he inherited all that wealth. When he was still young, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And so in seeing that Jesus, who was rich, became poor for him, he thought, I will follow this Jesus, and I will do what he does. And though I am rich, I will become poor for his sake. He was very generous with all his wealth, and he was known as a bishop who would just give and give and give. And that generosity, after he passed, was something that was celebrated through many churches all throughout ancient Europe from the 4th century on up. Santa Claus is real, more real than some big fat guy in a, you know, red suit and going down chimneys and blah, 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 blah. That came in the 1800s. I can't wait to have this talk with them because Christmas is for adults, not just for kids. It's something you grow into and not something you grow out of. That's what I get from when I read John chapter 1. In Christmas season. This is the thinker's, the philosopher's gospel. This is the gospel that tells the Christmas story for people who are thinking about truth and eternity and what it really means. I'm trying to avoid the phrase, this is what Christmas really means, or this is what Christmas is all about. It's a cliche. So I'm going to try my best. But let's get into the text itself, and I'll show you what I mean. Okay? I want to just point out, there's so many things going on in this chapter. I just want to show you a few things that when you look at it, it takes adults to realize. Children, Jesus said, let the children come to me. Let the children come and believe me, trust me, learn about me, put their faith in me. Absolutely. And Jesus said, unless you become like a child, like someone who will trust completely, without doubt, innocently, and totally. Yeah, you can't know Jesus. So I'm not saying children can't know Jesus, and I'm not saying it's bad for you know kids. That was just crazy. But what I am saying is that it's not just only for kids. There is something that is very adult and takes some adult thinking in order to grasp who Jesus is, whom we celebrate at Christmas. What are those things? First thing, key word here, verse 1 of chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Three times in one verse, you have a very important word. That is Word. That's a very important thing that John wants us to understand. It's interesting because that word is logos. You probably have heard of it before, but it's a very important word in Greek. Japanese people believe in a logos, but they don't call it the logos. The logos, in the Greek sense, is a principle. It is a power. It is something that brings order out of chaos. In your mind's eye, picture just numbers, 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 random numbers. Okay? And then somebody puts, like, you know, x equals something, something. You know, when you studied math when you were in junior high school, right? And they put some kind of formula, a squared plus b squared equals, see, some kind of formula, and you plug those formulas into all these numbers, suddenly the numbers don't become random. They start getting into order. They go into their place. Because that formula was a principle or an axiom or a truth that made everything go into place. That's logos. Japanese people, Asian people, Eastern people also believe in a spirit, in a power, in something that's greater and divine that brings order to this world. That's why John says, in the beginning. When's the last time you had in the beginning in the Bible? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God put order into chaos. Does that make sense? All right, that's an adult type of thinking. But interestingly enough, it's not just that. Logos is something for the Greeks who was reading it, but the word of God to the person who was Jewish, the Hebrew reader of that chapter. The word, yes. The prophets of the Old Testament would receive the word of God. And that's what they would give to the people of God so that the people of God could be a nation, a people, not some random group of people, but a people who were ordered by the word of God. The word of God was the power of God to create out of nothing. See, in the Greek idea, forgive me, trust me, I'm coming to you real soon, but in the Greek idea, it was just this power that brought order from chaos. The Hebrews said, no. You see, with chaos, you have something, and it becomes ordered. Before that, before something even existed, God existed, and God brought existence into existence. So the Word of God made something out of nothing. The Word of His power. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. Every single one of us in here understands our need for the Logos. Every single one of us here understands. I go out there, and in many places, it's chaotic. I go into an office. I go into a business. I go into a classroom. I go into even my own apartment. It can be chaos. This there, that over here. It's just out of order. I need the word of God that brings order into my relationships, order into my work, order into my business. Not only that, we are looking for the word to come into inside of us. We look into our hearts, our own minds, and it's you do you know what? You feel frustrated in your own mind. You just can't sit and think about one thing for 5 minutes. You just got to be flipping and you know, scrolling, and it's just always random. And in your mind, there's no peace. There's no consistency. and you're just crying out to God, God, will you settle my mind? Give me your logos, your word, right? So that's what John is talking about. John is saying, what I'm about to tell you is something you absolutely cannot live without. That is the order, the word, the logos of God. Children, they're just fine with chaos. Children thrive in chaos. They just want, you don't believe me? Just spend 5 minutes with my children, especially my baby boy, and you'll understand. He doesn't care about what goes where and, you know, what happens and this and that. It's chaos. Adults understand their need for it. So that's the word. The word was God. The word was with God. I just have to say one more thing real quick because it's my responsibility. You as a Christian, you need to understand the word was with God. Okay, so the word itself is something distinct from God. There are two people being talked about, two persons, the word and then God. And then the very next sentence, John says, and the word was God. Huh? I thought they were two different things. Now it's one thing. Yeah. Wait, what? Pastor Chris, John, you said God was one. God is one. He's a person. He's one. He's the one that made the heavens and the earth. He's the one that created the moon, the sun, and the stars. He's the one that put everything. Yeah. But John, you're also saying that he was with God. There's two different. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay, I'm out. Yeah, I don't understand. You are looking at me like, Chris, where are you going? This is at the heart of what Christians believe and what they call the Trinity. The Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Chris, Trinity, you can't preach that from the pulpit. Trinity is not a word that you find in the Bible. That's fine. You don't find the word. The word communion, is that in the Bible? No. But it's taught. And it's something that we practice every single time we get together. Trinity, you won't find that word in the Bible, but it's absolutely clearly taught in all of the Bible. Okay, that's something very adult. A kid cannot understand that. Well, neither can adults. But God says, look, you can't comprehend me, but at least give it a shot to apprehend my nature. Okay, I don't want to get bogged down with that. We got to keep moving. So that's verse 1. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been. That's God. The word is God, and God, that word, was the one that created everything. Let's go to the next part. Verse 4, another key word. In him was life. Life. And that life was the light of mankind. I love this next verse. It is so good. Ooh, so good. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness has not overcome it. So we have the word, logos, and then we have the life. Now, I need to get to you into a little bit of the Greek. There's two words for life in this original language. One is bios, where we get our word biology. Biology. So that's kind of natural, chemical, and physiological life. Okay? That's bios. So that's animals and birds and humans and fish. That's bio. The other word is zoe. D-Z-O-E. Zoe. All right? Some people write it zoe, but it's pronounced zoe. Okay? That's the second word. And that word means like a kind of fullness, meaningful, enriched life. So there's biological life of just waking up, feeding yourself, working, making money, finishing your job, going home, going to sleep, waking up the next. That's bios. Then there's zoe, waking up, looking at the day, and thinking, there's something God wants me to do. There's a reason I'm going to get up today, and it's not just to feed this body. There's something that I'm connected to that's so much bigger than me, but it fills me. That's zoe. That's the life that's written here. Are you following that? Listen, Christmas is about that life. We all understand. We all face this death. Every time we have an argument with someone, every time we disagree and we have a fight, we lose our temper. Every time we're sitting at home or sitting in a crowded room and we're completely alone. Every time we look at ourselves and see nothing but darkness and gloom, there's a death. Every time we hope for something so badly and then we don't get it and we think it's the end of our world, everybody is looking for zoe, for that life. Because if we have that life, the lights come on. I'm not living in this darkness. I'm not in this tunnel anymore. I'm not alone in this dark. I have something. I have zoe. And that logos is something that's not just for the universe, but it's something for me. It's for life. Just like the sun is what gives life to all the bios in this world. The Son of God is what gives zoe, life, to the souls of man. So the sun fills the earth with light, and you have photos, plants, animals, nature, seasons, warmth and heat. The Son of God bringing light into the man's soul brings fulfillment, richness, peace, love, joy, relationship, connection, life. That's good news, is it not? Is that good news? The good news is that though there is death and darkness and chaos, the logos, the light, and the life has come in the Son of God. We didn't read it, but it was at the end of the verse that we read. We read up to verse 13. Have you read verse 14? Have you read verse 14? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I don't want to preach that because there's too much to preach on that. Someday I will. But I'll get there someday. I'm looking forward to it. But that Word becoming flesh, that's Christmas. That's Jesus. That's the life. So I want to bring this to a wrap. Just a quick review. There's the logos. There's the zoe, there's the light. Last thing we want to get to is the children of God, right? The genos. And it goes down to verse 11, okay? He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Hallelujah. Children born not of natural descent or human decision or a husband's will. I love this. I love this. Christmas is not just about baby Jesus being born. Christmas is about adult me being reborn. It's Christmas. I'm being reborn. There's this song that gives me so much encouragement. I'm studying a lot about homosexuality, homosexual rights, gay marriage, because one of these days we're going to have a whole series. This is the issue of our time. It's going to come to Japan real soon. And one of the main arguments for homosexuality is, well, I can't help it, I'm born this way. I have these desires that I'm not going to lie to myself and say, it's not my choice. This is how I was born. And I can't control it. And that's a very legitimate argument. Like, we can stand here and say, no, it's a choice. No, you have to train yourself to, no. If you understand who you are, and being honest with yourself and say, you are attracted to a person of the same sex, that's a sexual urge, you're being honest with yourself. Who am I to judge that? But I have some good news. If you think you're born this way, Jesus came. And in two chapters later, John chapter 3, Jesus said, you can be born again. You can be, see, there's people who, there's two ways you can look at, I was born this way. People look at it and make it an excuse. I was born this way. God made me this way. I don't need to change because I was born this way. That's one argument you have to find a way around. But that's just an excuse. But then there's another people who understand themselves, say, look, I understand. Look, there are sexual perversions, pedophiles, people who have a natural proclivity to find a sexual perversion with children. They'll even say, I can't help it, I was born this way. I look at myself and this is how I am. Good news. You can be born again. You can be born again into a new humanity. Humanity informed by the light of life. And as you are born again, you become a child of God. Child of God, not by husband's will, not by human decision, but by the will of God. There is good news at Christmas. You can be born again. And now, to end it, I want you to take a zoom out, okay? And look where we went from verse 1 to verse 13. Look where it went. In verse 1, it started with the universe. It started at the beginning, at the creation. God was out there in space, beyond the Milky Way, beyond the Andromeda, beyond all the way out there. He was the one creating everything. And look how we get to verse 13. He is our Father. He's not just out there. He's not just a principle or a truth that is a force without a... He is the one who desires to be our Father. That's a beautiful thing. John just said, there's something I want to show you. This week, I've been going to work on my motorcycle. Naomi's needed the car most of the week. And so I go to work and come home on the motorcycle. I don't know if you've noticed, it's very cold outside. Riding a motorcycle is just not fun. You go out there, and then the thing is, you go in the morning. It's you know, early, there's a bunch of, you know, it's just cold. And I got to put on some special, like, snowboarding pants, you know. I got to put on, like, 5 layers. I got the under, I got the shirt, and I've got the vest, and I've got the jacket, I've got the scarf. I got to put on a tight hat, and then the helmet. And then I got to put on some special wristbands. And then on top of that, I put on a thin glove. And on top of that, I put on a thick glove. Okay? And it's still cold. I'm going in. There's nothing. I have a shield on my face, but it still freezes my face. And when I'm coming home at night, it's dark. There's no sunlight. Windy. And I have a problem. Because when I'm going home, I want to get home as fast as I can. But if I go too fast, the cold just gets right inside. You know, you go 40 kilometers an hour, it gets through the first two layers. You get up to 50 kilometers an hour, it's just all in there. So I have to slow down. But if I slow down, I'm in the cold for too long, right? So last night, going home, just, okay, all right, just got to get through. Gambaro. I get home. I open the door. This Kyohei, he's reading his book. There's Kenzo and Kankan, they're playing cards. Only one son comes to the door. My baby boy, you know, almost 2 years old. And he comes up, and he comes to the kitchen. I'm still in my jacket, got my helmet right here, my bag, you know, I'm still half frozen. My baby's like, hey, and he's come. He wants to give me a hug. He can't even say welcome home. He can't even say okaeri nasai. But he just wants to give me a hug. And I pick him up. You know, we're dancing in the ginkan, right? Born of God, the right to become the children of God. At Christmas, God, your Father, is telling you, come home. Come home. And I want to make you my child. There is a home for you here. That's Christmas. That's the good news. Well, I have to preach the gospel. You can't come home if you're living in the dark. You can't be born of God if you want to live in sin. Jesus took your sin. He became your sin. He is the Son of God, but he was rejected so that you could be accepted. He was with God in the beginning, but he allowed himself to be forsaken so that you can be accepted. He became a stranger so you could become a friend of God. He became an enemy so that you can become a friend of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. All you need to do is repent of your sin. Confess it. Admit it. God, I've been running. God, I did not want to be your child. God, I did not care to believe. God, I was those living in darkness who did not receive. But thank you that the darkness has not overcome, but the light has overcome and has pierced my heart. And thank you that Jesus Christ, by dying on the cross, taking my sin, dying what I should have died, gave me his life. Thank you so much. That's for an adult to understand. Even a child can get that, but that's something you grow into and not grow out of. That's what Christmas is all about. Amen. So let's go to Jesus. Let's find him at the cross. Let's meditate on his word. Lord, we want to soak in the truth of Jesus, the Word of God, the Logos, the Zoe, the light that gives life to all men. Father, drill this truth down deep into our hearts. Father, we want to have it transform our thoughts and our hearts. Wash us, cleanse us, renew us, revive us with the truth of your word. Lord, our sin is our sin, but the greater sin is that we would not believe. We would not receive, but Lord, we confess our sinfulness and open our hearts once more. We pour out our hearts to you. We bow our heads and humble ourselves. Hear our cry, O God. And Lord, we thank you so much that you did not give up on us. That though we would run away, you would still come after us. Though we would close our ears, you would not give up speaking your love and grace to us. Though we would turn from you, you would still let your face shine on us. God, thank you for Jesus, in whom we have logos, zoe, light. Thank you for Jesus, that through him we can be the children of God. Thank you so much. We rejoice in this. We celebrate it. And it's in Jesus' name that we thank you. Amen.